Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
So first, on the small category of things that you say have absolute protection,
yes,
that they are core executive functions,
yes,
what are those small categories?
Pardon power.
Pardon. Veto.
Veto, foreign recognition, appointments.
So that was from the oral arguments over what has now become, in my opinion, one of the most significant Supreme Court rulings perhaps in my lifetime. Came down yesterday, as you all now, I assume, know, especially if you've heard of just the top of the hour news or anything else, the Supreme Court ruling that Trump and or any other president, including President Biden or Obama or Clinton or future presidents, have absolute immunity for certain exercises of what the court called core power. Core powers that it talked about in the opinion authored by Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts include things like firing of your appointees, include things like recognition of foreign governments, and include things like pardon power. So that's a question that came from Elena Kagan during the oral arguments to the lawyer who was arguing that Trump doesn't have absolute immunity. And he conceded that he does have absolute immunity in these some limited core things. And so, on the one hand, I guess you can't be totally surprised by the ruling. Because even at the oral arguments, the lawyer representing the other side, so to speak, representing the United States, said that for the special counsel for the Department of Justice, Marty Dreeben, said that, sure, there are some things for which the president has total immunity, core power, nothing can be done. And also, in the ruling, which came not really as any surprise, was the recognition that for private behaviors, for anything the president does that is not related to his function as the president of the United States, those things can certainly be charged as crimes. Not during the presidency. There's this kind of longstanding principle that you can't charge a president while he's the president. But, you know, as soon as you're out of office, okay, go time, right? On things that were related to private behavior. So, for example, particularly the, you know, payments for hush money to a former sexual partner who happens to be a porn star, if those payments took place before you became president, they are private choices. They are private behaviors. They didn't take place during the presidency. There's no question these would be private acts. And therefore, you know, criminal charges related to anything like that would seem to be on the table. Okay? That's my read of that portion of the decision. On the other hand, questions about, and again, reading from the opinion, which I did read the opinion yesterday. And oh my God, I did one thing for show prep yesterday. I read the opinion. And it took hours. Because I wanted to read it carefully and pay attention and really think about it, and I did. And, you know, it's, I mean, it was only, gosh, in a PDF, it was only like 130 pages, so it's not that long. God, so long. But this decision really, the squabble over this decision, the varying viewpoints over this decision, everything from, hells yes, we have a president again, I mean, that's what some people think, to, oh my God, they just gave Donald Trump the keys to the dictatorship if he ever gets elected again, is over the other group of stuff. Not things that are core presidential power, and not things that are personal, non-presidential actions, but the periphery, the outer edge, so to speak, of presidential power. And the question is, well, what things are in that category? What behaviors, what choices, what powers, what groupings of powers are in that category? And what this Supreme Court decision didn't decide was the answer to that question. It kind of punted, or what, you know, legal technical term, it remanded. Because, see, the lower courts, when they were deciding this case, the D.C. Circuit and the next circuit, what they decided was we don't have to decide that question because presidents have no immunity. So we don't have to decide whether this was core power or non-core power. We don't have to decide whether this was, you know, outer edge power or something. We don't have to decide any of that because presidents can be charged with crimes. Everybody knows presidents can be charged with crimes, they said. Because why else would you have to pardon Nixon after he leaves office? You don't have to pardon a guy for leaving office so that he can't be prosecuted for a crime that he can't be charged with in the first place because presidents aren't immune. Right? I mean, you wouldn't have to pardon him if he had immunity already. So what's the point of the pardon? And every president has always kind of assumed that there were things that they could be charged with. And that's what the impeachment judgment clause says. That's Article 1, Section 3, Clause 7 of the Constitution that says judgment in cases of impeachment shall not extend further than to removal from office and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profit in the United States. You know this. I mean, you may not know to quote it. But you know the idea is that when the House impeaches and the Senate convicts and removes from office, that's all they can do. They can't throw you in jail also. But, the clause goes on, very importantly, but the party convicted, as in removed from office, shall nevertheless be liable and subject to indictment, trial, judgment, and punishment according to law. Well, duh, of course. Of course, deposed presidents can be charged. Of course they can. Federalist 69, the President of the United States would be liable to be impeached, tried, and upon conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes or misdemeanors, removed from office, and would afterwards be liable to prosecution and punishment in the ordinary course of law. I mean, Hamilton knew. We all knew. This is from the beginning obvious. Federalist 77, from the election of the president once in 4 years by persons immediately chosen by the people for that purpose, and from his being at all times liable to impeachment, trial, dismission from office, incapacity to serve in any other, and to forfeiture of life and estate by subsequent prosecution in the common course of law. You could execute presidents. Hamilton says so. If they commit capital crimes while in office. So, of course, presidents can be charged with things after they leave office. Of course they can. That's what the lower courts thought. So why do we need to answer the question of, you know, which things the president might have immunity for? And the Supreme Court says, no, y'all been wrong about this for 200 years. Presidents have absolute immunity for core powers. They have some kind of immunity. We're not quite sure what. For non-core powers. And they don't have any immunity for personal choices. Things that are not presidential powers at all. Oh, and they totally dismiss the notion, and rightly so. It's the one part of the opinion that I actually agree with. They said that, look, you don't have to be impeached in order to, you know, this notion that you would have had to have been impeached in order to be subject to the law, that's ridiculous. Okay, so I read the whole thing, and I'll tell you what my reaction was to it while I was reading it, was I kept having questions as I'm reading Chief Justice Roberts' opinion. And every time I'm asking a question, I'm thinking, well, this seems like a weakness in the argument here. And every time I had a question, it didn't seem to really get answered. The more I had these questions, the more they didn't get answered. And they seemed to be pretty substantial questions. Like, well, what would be the limit on, you know, categorizing something as a peripheral power? It doesn't seem like there is any. And their argument that you need to have a strong president in order to make the Constitution work, and that without a strong president who's afraid of being prosecuted, they can't make their decisions. I said, well, I don't know. I kind of want a president who's a little afraid. You know, I want a president who's a little bit concerned about what might happen after they leave office, because if there's no accountability, then that's a problem. And they kept talking in the opinion about how the president's not above the law. And I said, agreed. And then they'd say, but the president has total immunity for these core powers about which nobody can question him in any way or even ask about his motives in any way. And I'm like, well, that you say he's not above the law, but then you turn around and say he is above the law. He's totally above the law. He's absolutely immune from the law. They didn't quite say it this way, but I want to try to make it make sense for you. When you have a king, the king is the law. And so our revolution was predicated on the idea that we don't want that. But the idea of charging the king with a crime in England is inconceivable in a very Princess Bride sort of way. Because the king can't be found to be violating the law. The king literally is the law in his very nature. So let's say Parliament in England, you know, passes a law that says the king can't spit on the sidewalk. And the king walks down the street and spits on the sidewalk. And they try to bring him up on charges. And he says, I'm the king. If I spit on the sidewalk, it is by definition legal because I did it. That's the concept of the king as law, okay? We looked at that and said, because by his very nature, he is the law. He embodies the law. He represents the law. His decisions are legal by the fact that he makes them, okay? That's the monarchical system. And we said, no. You know, kings can be wrong. The law is the law, and the law is king. Lex Rex, right? The law is king, not the king. We don't have a king. We don't want a king. So now, what you've got is, if you want to make sense of this theory, it's kind of this idea. The Constitution gives certain powers to the president. And with regard to those powers, he is the king. His exercise of those powers is monolithic. Nobody can challenge him, question him. His whim, whatever his motive, when it comes to pardoning somebody. Right? And by the way, which we recognize, okay, he can pardon whomever he wants. His whim when it comes to removing an officer, we've all heard this idea, like, you serve at the pleasure of the president. If he doesn't like the way the Secretary of State's behaving, out, right now, immediately. By his very exercise of will, the president can do these things, right? Recognizing foreign countries, they say, is another one of these powers because it's in the Constitution. It says that. And so the idea of these core powers doctrine that the Supreme Court is laying out is that when it comes to those key powers, the president, again, they do not say this. I'm saying this, but this is the only way it makes sense, is the Constitution gives the president king-like ability because nobody can question him about these things. Literally, you cannot make them illegal. You cannot even ask him questions about them. He doesn't have to disclose papers about them. He doesn't have to explain his motives about them. You can't bring any kind of inquiry against him on these matters because they are core powers. That's what they said. And like I'm saying, the only way that makes sense is if you read the Constitution as granting him king-like authority for that stuff. And there is a sense in which that makes sense because nobody else. Then there's like shared authority stuff. There's, you know, stuff that Congress and the president have power in. And when there's shared authority, well, then you're talking about things that are clearly presidential powers, but they're not monolithic. They're not unitary. They're not only he has these powers. And therefore, Congress has say about that stuff. And so the question is, well, to what degree might decisions related to those powers be able to be made illegal? And here's the Supreme Court's closest thing to a try at a good answer to that, because they didn't give great answers to this question, but the closest thing is something like this. As long as the criminalizing of the presidential choice doesn't in any way diminish the power the Constitution gives them to make that choice, then, okay, you could make that illegal. But if making it illegal changes their power or diminishes their power in that zone of authority, then you can't make it illegal. And there's something sort of appealing about that because that seems to want to protect the, you know, separation of powers. But then the question is, well, what then could actually be illegal that would get the president for doing something wrong? And as Sonia Sotomayor wrote in her dissent, scathing dissent, well, it's hard to figure that out because it seems vanishingly small. It seems like there's no answer to that question for anything that you wouldn't be able to interpret as diminishing presidential power if they declared it a crime or had been declared a crime and he violated it. And I agree with her. And I don't lightly say Sonia Sotomayor got it right. But as I was reading this opinion, every single question that I kept raising that nagged at me because they didn't get it right, or so I thought, every single one, she comes back and says, here's why they're wrong. Here's why they're wrong. Here's why they're wrong. I'm like, yeah. I have great respect for Alito and Gorsuch and Amy Coney Barrett, who wrote concurrence with a disagreement about one part, and Brett Kavanaugh and John Roberts. I have great respect for them. I normally read opinions and think, yep. All right, cool. What's Clarence Thomas got to say? It might be a little bit different, but I'm going to agree with that too. And these liberals, they always get it wrong. Almost always. That's how I read opinion. I mean, it's easy. I read the opinion. I'm like, oh, all right, cool. This was like La La Land. This is like the upside down world because I'm reading the opinion thinking, you six got it wrong again and again and again and again. And the three got it right. They made the president a king. The only question is how much of a king? I mean, that's the question. They remanded these questions back to the lower courts to decide, well, is he a king and therefore protected when he tells Pence to violate his duty to certify the election? Is he a king or not and protected, therefore, when he calls local officials at the state level and tries to pressure them to, put in a false slate of electors? That's the question. Is he protected or not in that? Because is he acting like a king or not? Is he in his core powers or not that cannot be challenged? And they already said that when he tries to use the Department of Justice to pressure state officials, that's not a problem. That's core power. Even threatening to fire his attorney general over refusal to comply with that is also fine. That's presidential immunity. That's core power, firing of appointees. So I was wrong. John Pickens was right. He said they would rule for immunity. I said they would not rule for immunity. I said it would be 9-0. I said, this is easy, no problem. I woke up after I heard the news yesterday. I thought, good Lord, maybe I misunderstood. I read the opinion and think, I didn't misunderstand. This is horrifying. Really genuinely horrifying stuff. I can't explain it. And I've read their best explanation. It doesn't add up. 527 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
Febreze. As a rideshare driver, I love keeping my car smelling fresh and clean. So when I'm driving, I only trust new Febreze car vent clips. Now with 3 times greater scent control. Because it's that little touch that sets me apart. I can turn the intensity down for subtle freshness, or I can turn it up for when I want lots of scent. So whether it's set to low, medium, or high, with new Febreze car, I know my car's going to smell amazing. Which keeps my driver rating right where it belongs. Picking up! Oscar!
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, tonight at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. Tonight at 7, it's Johnny Earthquake and the Moondogs, playing all types of music from the 50s through today. Johnny Earthquake and the Moondogs is a fan-favorite, high-energy show packed full of sing-along favorites. Bands on the Beach, tonight at 7.
A violent crime is committed every 24 seconds. The U.S. Concealed Carry Association exists to provide you with firearms education, training, and access to self-defense liability insurance, so when trouble comes, you'll be ready. Over 800,000 Americans trust the USCCA, and right now, there's an exclusive, limited-time offer for radio listeners. Go to DefendFamily.com to get a free family defense guide, a survival secrets training video from a retired FBI agent, and see all the benefits of membership. Go to DefendFamily.com now.
Wrap up your day with all of the national, state, local sports and entertainment news with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin on News Radio 92.3.
Go, go, Gadget Copper!
Good morning, 529 News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Yes, I am, and good morning there, gentlemen. Today in our headlines, Democrats are hammering the Supreme Court over its decision to grant immunity to the president for official acts there, handing a win to Donald Trump in his federal election interference case yesterday. American victims of Hamas, Andrew, now suing Iran, Syria, and North Korea over their support of the terrorist group. The Anti-Defamation League filed a lawsuit in Washington, D.C. It could potentially mean some federal funding for victims of terrorism. The organization's CEO said the lawsuit is about holding those nations accountable. And if you're getting ready for this coming weekend, looks like the price of a cookout for the 4th of July is going to be just a little bit higher yet again this year.
No way to say it isn't so.
Unbelievable, right? a report from the American Farm Bureau puts the average cost of feeding 10 people this year at $71.22. And to me, that sounds a little low.
10 people for 70 bucks?
I don't think it can be done.
And you're eating what? You're eating rice cakes?
Maybe if you're doing pulled
corn.
Pork.
On the cob?
I don't know.
No sauce, no slaw, no beer. Come on now.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden condemns a Supreme Court opinion on presidential immunity greatly broadening what's considered an official act that can't be prosecuted.
I know I will respect the limits of the presidential powers I have for 3.5 years. But any president, including Donald Trump, will now be free to ignore the law.
This is an opinion that upholds our constitutional system of separation of powers. It defends the institution and the office of the presidency.
Trump attorney Will Scharf on Fox. Prosecutors in Norfolk County, Massachusetts, say they will retry Karen Reed for the murder of her boyfriend, John O'Keefe, a Boston police officer.
The jury three times told the judge it was deadlocked before a mistrial was declared. Prosecutors said Reed killed O'Keefe with her SUV. The defense believes cops tried to cover someone else's crime.
Fox's Grinnell Scott, the lead investigator in the case, is now transferred out of his detective's unit. America's listening to Fox.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. 82 degrees. It is partly cloudy this morning. Governor DeSantis was in town yesterday at Pensacola State College, awarding some money for workforce development and infrastructure improvements through the Florida Job Growth Grant Fund and the Defense Infrastructure Grant. Awards were made for Pensacola State College, who got $4.4 million to establish a new airframe and power plant mechanics program. PSC President Dr. Ed Meadows tells us why this project is so important.
As part of our mission, we are two-pronged in the sense of degrees and certifications that we offer. One is university transfer. The other is workforce, and workforce seems to be a very large part of what we have started doing in the last 10 to 15 years.
And that project will support the construction of a new hangar, training equipment, and operating costs for the education program, which will be located at the Pensacola International Airport. Deputies continue investigating after a shootout at the Dreamland Skate Center on Sunday. Deputies say gunfire erupted between two people after a dispute there on Sunday evening. No injuries were reported. Channel 3 did talk with a representative at the business who said it all happened during a 4-year-old child's birthday party. So far, investigators are still working to identify any suspects. If you have information, contact the Escambia Sheriff's Office or you can call Crime Stoppers. Florida students showing substantial growth. That according to Florida Education Commissioner Manny Diaz Jr. He said yesterday he released the new FAST scores. This is the second year of the Florida Assessment of Student Thinking. The highlights include a 20% point increase over the school year for English, language arts, and grades 3 through 10. Diaz said there was a 42% point increase in grades 3 through 8 in math, and grade 5 science and grade 8 science grades up from last year, as well as biology 1. The FAST results also showed improvements in algebra, geometry, civics, and history. Diaz said gains were also made by Black and Hispanic students. You can see the full test results at FLDOE.org. A teenager now suing the state after losing her job as a stripper in Alachua County. 19-year-old Serenity Bushy was fired this month from a business called Cafe Risque after the new state law raised the minimum age for strippers in the recent lawsuit. She claims the law violates her First Amendment rights HB 7063 requires anyone who works in an adult entertainment venue to be at least 21 years old. 5:35 at News Radio Pensacola. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
It is going to be a hot, humid day today with a heat advisory in effect. 50% chance of a stray shower in the afternoon. High today near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 79. Staying hot and humid as we go into Wednesday with a 50% chance of rain. High near 94. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 82 in Pensacola, 81 in Gulf Breeze, 81 in Milton. Your next news at 6 o'clock, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Ken Griffin, founder and CEO of Citadel, says he remains skeptical that artificial intelligence could soon make human jobs obsolete as he sees flaws in machine learning models. Griffin, whose hedge fund and electronic market maker have been at the forefront of automation, said machine learning tools do have their limits when it comes to adapting to changes. Meanwhile, CEO of Tesla, Elon Musk, is among those who have repeatedly warned of the threats that AI poses to humanity. Some people could find themselves wrangling with summer travel bills well after Labor Day. More than one-third of summer vacationers say they are willing to take on debt to pay for travel. That is according to a report from Bankrate. About a quarter said they intend to use a credit card and pay for the vacation over multiple billing cycles. Millennials and Generation Z are the demographic most likely to go into debt for travel and other experiences. Futures are moderately lower. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 50. That's your money.
Hobbies could be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that was fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow at 10 as Emerald Coast Coins will be on the Pensacola Expert Panel. For years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
You know, the sheriff was brought up. I talked to the sheriff about this and whether he would support this resolution. Well, he told me he fully supports this resolution. Illegal immigration is a serious problem in Santa Rosa County and the United States of America. And again, Sheriff Bob Johnson told me that I'm allowed to say that he fully supports this at this meeting.
And this business about I talked to the sheriff and the sheriff 100% supports this, I'm telling you folks, someone is lying or not being fully honest, because I've spoken with the sheriff too. And the sheriff told me he thought this was a harebrained idea, and the sheriff's department does not enforce immigration law.
All right, so somebody lying. Somebody lying.
Yeah.
You had you had James Calkins, who was the first voice you heard there. This had to do with last Monday's discussion about the resolution of no-teethedness that James Calkins had wanted to pass to make a comment about immigration being bad and we don't support it in Santa Rosa County. And then you heard Colton Wright also responding and saying, you know, what he thought. Sheriff Bob Johnson is with us. We'll go to the source now. Sheriff Johnson, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me, Andrew.
Absolutely. Great to have you. Okay, so who's telling the truth, James? I know as a sheriff you would like to get along with everybody, and I know it would be easier if you could say they're both right, but who's telling the truth about your view of this?
I will tell you exactly what I told James Calkins, and it was not what he said. He told me about this thing that he come up with, and I said, number one, James, we do not enforce federal laws like that, immigration laws. We can't. That's to the federal government has to do that. I said, I support a closed border and legal immigration. And that's all I said to him. I never said I totally support his idea. I never said anything like that, even close to that. That was the only thing that I said to James Calkins.
Wow.
That I do support a closed border, which I do, and I do support legal immigration. But we don't enforce immigration law, so you have nothing to do with that. And for him to say what he said, that was incorrect. And, I said nothing of the sort.
Have you, I don't mean to dwell on this, but have you talked with him since this? Have you corrected him to his face or had a chance to?
No, I haven't seen him. As you know, we're about to talk about some other stuff that's been going on. So we've been kind of busy at the sheriff's office, but no, I haven't, but I'm sure I'll get a chance to.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for clearing it up. I appreciate that. That is, I mean, based on, I know Colton and based on him and my assessment of his character, I would be surprised for him to be doing anything of the sort. And so I figured that was probably where we were going to land here, but I wanted to hear it straight from your mouth. So thank you for telling us about that. We had a very kind of a high profile news incident that you arrested somebody in Santa Rosa County just over the weekend, who is a commanding officer over a squadron, a training squadron at Hurlburt. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Lieutenant Colonel, I believe you pronounced Bing, B-Y-N-G. He committed domestic assault, not only against his wife, but his 10-year-old son as well. He left marks on both their necks where he choked them, and actually pulled a knife on the son trying to get a phone from him, and kept the wife calling us. So he's charged with a myriad of charges. And of course, we'll go to trial and see what happens. But I read the report, and all this being recorded on body camera, it's going to be kind of hard to dispute the facts.
And the allegations, I think, here surrounded him accusing his wife of infidelity and then, as you said, choking her, the kids running away with the phone that he was demanding and him grabbing them and drawing a knife. And then a friend or a deputy showed up on the outside. How quickly did your deputy get there?
I don't know the exact response time, but it was pretty quick.
Okay.
And because the marks were still fresh on both the child and the mother, so they got there pretty fast.
And look, you have to arrest anybody, no matter who they are, you know, whether they're high profile or not any profile whatsoever. But it's always a difficult relationship because we love our military, we believe in them, and they do such important stuff. And of course, you have to, I assume, interface at some point with their command structure, maybe over things like this. How do you handle that?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I'm ex-Air Force as well. So I know that these guys and gals in the military can be under some pressure and see some things that, you know, normal people don't get to see and can be traumatized with various PTSD, things of that nature. But when it comes to strangling your wife and your 10-year-old, you know, there's just no room for any kind of discretion on an officer. By Florida law, you know, once we confirm who the primary aggressor was and that violence occurred, we're bound by law to take them into custody, no matter who they are. Doesn't matter. So it's not fun for us because it's a military guy. Obviously, we, you know, used to be with the military. And we don't want to have to do this, but we also have to keep the people safe. So
right. And I mean, you know, like we always say, the military is a population too, and you know, and every population is going to have the good and the bad in it for sure. You had a sergeant who passed away, not in the line of duty, but still a major incident for your folks, right?
Yeah, Sergeant Jason Rickman. He was. And he'd been with us for almost 26 years. And he had had several bouts of cancer, even one in high school, I believe, and he beat them all. And then I think this was his actual fourth run in with it. And this time, unfortunately, he couldn't get past it, and he passed away. I believe it was Saturday.
And I'm sorry, you cut out on me right in the beginning. He was active duty still, or he was retired?
Oh, no, he was still active, and he was a sergeant, and he worked mostly D4 and D5, which is Milburn and Jay area. Yeah.
Well,
we're going to have a funeral here. I don't know when. We're going to find out today. But, it hurts. You know, it always does when you lose people, especially good people like Jason. So.
Well, my condolences, and as you say, having, you know, beat it three times and couldn't beat it the fourth time, it's a very sad thing to see. I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah.
Well, Sheriff Bob Johnson, as always, sir, I appreciate the time, appreciate what you do, helping us, you know, learn what goes on in law enforcement and the full range of things we have to talk about. But thank you so much for keeping us safe, keeping us informed, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
Absolutely. 5:45 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I wasn't quite sure what the sheriff would say regarding the claims that James Calkins made about what he said to him about that silly illegal immigration resolution that they voted down last week. Pretty clear. He didn't tell the truth. I mean, that, you know, I don't know how to, there's no nice way to say it. I mean, he lied about what the sheriff told him. And thank goodness Colton Wright called him on it, and thank goodness the sheriff was on the show to claim, clarify, and do what he did, which doesn't surprise me. It's just, you know, wow, I just wouldn't, as low as my expectations are for Commissioner Calkins, I wouldn't have expected that. But, you know, here we are. 5:46 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you're thinking about whether now is the right time to buy a home, to maybe buy an investment home, whether that's a, you know, vacation rental or a long-term rental or, you know, fixer-upper or a second home or, you know, just move up in the world or maybe downsize. I mean, I don't know. Everybody's in a different situation, or buy your first home. The point is, if you're thinking about that, selling or buying, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are outstanding at this. I mean, just like, I know her as long as I've lived here. For 10 years, really, you know, good person, honest, friendly, thoughtful. She was in news, of course, for a long time. And we all thought, who knew Christina at the time, like when she made the switch over into real estate, we're all like, well, I mean, a lot of people try real estate. We'll see, you know, but if anybody can do it, you can. Boy, did we underestimate. Like, 175 homes last year. That's amazing. She's great at it. She loves it. She's great at it. And she will help you think through the issues related to whatever it is you're dealing with, whether it's they handle divorce cases. That's a tricky thing. But she's like, well, this is a problem we can help solve, and this needs somebody to do this, and how do we solve this? We'll learn how to do it. We'll get certified and trained in doing that specific problem. Or it's estate sales, or it's just, you know, any other real estate matter that you've got. Give her a call. Find out what she can do to help you. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. At Avalon HR, they understand these complications and have your back. Join them tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as they guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join them tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 and Pensacola State College is proud to air the Pensacola Symphony Orchestra's Symphony Sparks and Stars, Thursday, July 4th. Heard live at the Hunter Amphitheater at Community Maritime Park. This free outdoor concert presented by Peter Mougier will honor the United States Armed Forces and feature a mix of patriotic music and popular favorites. The symphony starts at 7:30 and ends at 9 with the 4th of July fireworks and can be heard on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Austin.
It's like headline news for radio. Every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I will do it with my spear and magic helmet.
Good morning, 5:50 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
And good morning. American victims of Hamas's attacks on October 7th are now suing Iran, Syria, and North Korea over their support of the group. The Anti-Defamation League filed that lawsuit yesterday. Former President Trump's partial victory in the Supreme Court yesterday, sparking intense reaction from both parties. The justices, of course, ruled 6-3. Big topic of discussion today that Trump does have limited immunity. Possible Trump VP pick, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance called that a massive win yesterday. Apparently, California now has a new law requiring bars and clubs to offer drug testing to protect customers from spiked drinks. It makes free or reasonably priced testing kits mandatory. The tests are in the form of like a little test strip or whatever that you would dip in your drink to make sure it's not spiked.
It is hard to describe too strongly the horror at imagining where we are in 2024. We are such a distressed society that bars literally have to offer test strips to women so they can make sure that somebody didn't put date rape drugs in their drinks when they go out for a night. I'm not criticizing the law. I'm not criticizing the provision of the test strips. I'm saying, how the hell did we get here?
No, exactly. I mean, yeah. It's terrible that that's even something you'd have to think about.
Right. And I mean, I'm going to say this and it's going to be wrong, but I think you'll know what I'm getting at. If spiking somebody's drink in order to sexually molest them happened, I mean, even one time, it's a horrible thing, okay? But let's imagine that it happened sort of just one time or two times in a year in California. You know what I mean? Like, let's imagine that it was that rare. You wouldn't be in a state where you wouldn't be in a situation where you had to advocate for something like this or across the United States. What they're acknowledging is this is so common that you can't just trust in the law of averages that you're not going to be a victim. You have to be worried that on any given Thursday, at any given bar where there's 15 or more people, one of them could be a rapist, could be putting something in my drink when I'm not looking. So we got to have this security measure. It's unbelievable that we'd get to a place like this. David, thank you so much for the update. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know how there's safety seals like on food and prescription bottles and,
right.
You know, most bottles are frustratingly hard to open because, right. And the older you get, the harder it gets, right? I mean, and you ever said to yourself, well, this isn't just childproof, it's adultproof, right? I mean, how many times have you struggled to get it? Why? Well, because, you know, sometime back in the 80s, there was a scare, right, mm-hmm. About somebody doing things one time, or most of it's actually urban legend. Most of the stuff that people are alleged to have done to food is all, like, didn't actually happen. But, you know, there have been extremely rare cases. So we changed the whole nature of food packaging and pharmaceutical packaging in order to discourage and deter against that, which is a bit of an overreaction. You know what I mean? Kind of like, you know, maybe 23 years in, maybe the entire business of the TSA and taking off your belt and your socks is an overreaction. Well, Andrew, you don't understand how big 9/11 was. No, I mean, that's a lot worse than anything that happened with poisoning you know, ibuprofen or whatever it was back in the 80s. I'm trying to remember what the specific drug was. Tylenol, if I remember correctly. Anyway, and I think it didn't it turn out that that wasn't didn't actually happen, didn't it? Wasn't like a concern it didn't actually turn out to be?
Yes, as I remember. Yeah.
Anyway, so, but here, like, society is built on trust. I mean, literally, civilization depends on you trusting that the people next to you in the bar, in the airport, on the road, on the two-lane highway at 90 miles an hour closure, you're 45, they're 45, added together, 90 miles an hour. You trust that they're not evil. You trust that they're not trying to kill you or, in this case, sexually molest you. If you can't, I mean, if you're that worried about the drinks being poisoned at the bar, the answer isn't, well, get me a test strip. The answer is don't go to the bar. And that's a problem for us as a society. If we are so unsafe around each other, it's hard to picture how we make the whole, you know, project of civilization keep going forward. So, yeah, this is a canary in the coal mine kind of law, not because the law itself is wrong, but because it says something about us as a society that is horrendous to say out loud. Whether it's true or not is maybe sort of a second question, but man. 437, sorry, I hadn't read that story and I'm thinking about it and it's amazing. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, we're still talking about this debate. I mean, all of these, you know, days later, of course, we'll be talking about this for a while. I have some thoughts about the debate I didn't get a chance to share yesterday. By the way, you know, some people are talking about the 25th Amendment now.
Right.
25th Amendment for removing for incapacity.
Gotcha.
Right? Remove the president. Because what people are saying, critics of the Biden administration, I don't know how many friends of the Biden administration are saying, but what critics are saying is if he's that senile, okay, ever, I mean, clearly he shouldn't be running the military, making decisions about the nuclear codes, even theoretically, shouldn't be reacting to, you know, foreign offers, and certainly can't be trusted to protect the country. So they ask questions like, well, who's really making the decisions? It's obviously not Joe Biden, at least not in these moments. And again, I say this, he has a range, okay? And his range includes a far more competent version of him. As some people have said, well, between, you know, the hours of 10 and 4 when he's properly rested. You know, like, what in the world? The president's an all-day job, okay? But okay, some talk about the 25th Amendment. I think that's likely to go nowhere. But it does sort of raise a question, a couple of questions. Number one is, you know, can the president govern? If this is who he is at least some of the time, can the president govern? Is the president governing now? Or is there sort of, you know, other people calling the shots, making the decisions, who's really running the country? We don't know. And then, you know, they all say they were surprised by this. Were they?
No, they weren't.
I mean, I was surprised by how bad it was, but we've been saying for a long time that he's not fit.
Right.
Or at least he veers into unfit territory. Okay. I think sometimes he may be fit and sometimes he may not be. I don't know. It's a bit of the crocodile tears thing, sort of the, oh my God, I can't believe he's this bad. Oh, crap. They finally saw it. You know, it's kind of what it sounds like. But here's another thing. Just I've heard this get said by many, many commentators. The phrase to look for is poor debate performance. It was a poor debate performance. I don't know if you caught any of what Nancy Pelosi said. I mean, she didn't say too much, but that was kind of her take as well. You can't judge somebody on the basis of one bad debate performance. Well, the effort here is to make it seem like this was an outlier. This was an aberration. This isn't who he really is. This is just sort of a, well, he just showed bad that night. You know, kind of like, you know, a great running back can fumble the ball three times in a game and still be a great running back. And they're trying to convince you that he's still a great running back. I mean, yeah, he fumbled like 18 times in the game, but he's still a great running back. Don't believe what you saw in that game. Believe what you know about him all the rest of the time. That's why the phrase bad debate performance or poor debate performance, as in you didn't see the real thing. You just saw one, you know, statistical outlier or something like that. And that's been their effort, is to characterize it as kind of like they're gaslighting you. you don't know what you know. You didn't see what you saw. You didn't hear what you heard. So don't trust your own eyes. Don't trust everything you've seen for the last year or two or three. But believe us, behind closed doors, he's doing great. Everything's fine. And we're totally surprised by this. We'll be back.